This is Clusterfucked. Here's your host, Roger King.
I am indeed Roger King, and welcome to Clusterfucked. This is the first ever episode of the podcast, and so I wanted to do just a quick overview of what you can expect as you become a dedicated clusterfucker. My first promise to you as the listener is that I will always get right into the heart of the podcast off the top. That's my pet peeve about some podcasts. So there'll be no pithy stories about my ride into work or rambling anecdotes. The one good thing about conventional radio that some podcasters seem to misunderstand is the clock. Your time is valuable. I make you a clusterfuck promise not to waste it. Okay, the premise of the podcast. Liberals in the United States are clustering in the major cities to the point where we are clearly losing elections. In other words, liberals are not living in enough places to turn more of the U.S. blue. The Trump victory over Hillary Clinton was the most obvious as she got 3 million more votes and still lost. Now, gerrymandering and voter suppression, voter ID laws are serious problems, but you can't gerrymander the Senate. Everyone in the state has one vote. The real issue is the clustering. So the goal with this podcast is to foster a discussion about what I like to call a new liberal movement. And by movement, I'm being literal. I think liberals literally need to move to places where they don't already live in big numbers. We need a liberal invasion of red states. What good are 3 million extra votes in California when they could be spread out into other places? Wyoming, for example, has just a little over 500,000 people, but they get two senators, just like California with its 35 million people. So liberals are running up massive numbers in the big cities, but there are less populated districts and states fairly close by some of these big cities. All it would take would be for liberals to move to some of these places, and we would score victories there as well. So here are some big city numbers from the 2016 U.S. election. Hillary beat Trump 79% to 18% in New York City, 78 to 16 in Los Angeles, 83 to 12 in Chicago, 84 to 8 in Seattle, 95 to 3 in Detroit, 80 to 13 in Boston, 84 to 10 in Baltimore, 77 to 12 in Portland, Oregon, 73 to 18 in Denver, Colorado. So let's talk about Denver for a second as an example of what I'm talking about. Hillary won the state of Colorado by 5 points. But in Denver itself, over 300,000 people voted, and Hillary Clinton got 182,000 more votes than Trump, just in Denver. Meanwhile, in Wyoming, only 230,000 people voted, period, in the entire state. The biggest city in Wyoming is Cheyenne. It is 90 minutes from Denver. Take 100,000 of Hillary's extra votes in Denver and have those people move 90 minutes away to Cheyenne, and it's quite possible the Democrats could flip a Senate seat, leaving aside the presidential election for a second. One Senate seat flip in Wyoming, and the current Senate would be tied 50-50 just by some of those people moving 90 minutes away. I read a stat that says 20,000 families, I think, move to Denver every month. Now imagine if they just relocated 90 minutes away. Housing prices have to be lower in Cheyenne than Denver. We could work on flipping Wyoming, making it a blue state. In future episodes, we'll explore other red and blue state cities in close proximity and how many liberals literally moving from one to the other it would take to flip some of these seats. But just think of all the artists and writers, editors, web designers, and other arts and business professional liberals who are self-employed and really can work from anywhere. They have Starbucks in Wyoming. Believe it or not, there are Thai restaurants in South Dakota and Montana. Wyoming and Montana, these are beautiful states, people. Just saying. In many states, you only need to live there 30 days or less, and you can vote there. No reason a bunch of tech types from Seattle can't go and live in Idaho for a few months right before a Senate election. Alex McGillis wrote a piece in the New York Times called Go West, Young Man, and it was about this concept of Democrats clustering and not living in enough places to turn more of the map blue. He mentions this stat. The 20 states where Republicans hold both Senate seats have, on average, 5.2 million people each. The 16 states where the Democrats hold both seats have on average 7.9 million people. So put another way, winning Senate elections in states with a total of 126 million people has netted the Democrats 8 fewer seats than the Republicans get from winning states with 104 million people only. And keep in mind now that 43% of Americans spend at least some time working remotely. Again, this idea you can work from anywhere. Now, as I've just illustrated, this Democratic or liberal clustering is literal, but it's also figurative. Liberals need to stop refusing to make the case to people who don't already agree with us. We do need to talk to Trump voters and, in general, many people who live in red states. If you want a more progressive government and a more progressive country, you have to move public opinion. You can't assume it's already there. I know people who defriended anyone who voted for Trump or even any Republican in their social media feeds. We've got to make the case to some of these people. If we believe our policies are far superior to those offered by the other side, and they are, let's take the debate to the other side. If we believe moving in a more progressive direction would help people and would help the country, we've got to be confident and become experts at explaining why. Yelling at people and calling them bigots, even if you believe they are, it's not going to convince anyone. And certainly not talking to them isn't going to do the trick. Of course, we are not going to persuade the diehards and the white supremacists, but you do have to persuade moderates. That's just a fact. And I'm not even talking about finding common ground. That's something that's thrown out a lot. Oh, we should find common ground with our opponents. I'm talking about winning the argument, bringing them to our side with persuasive arguments. We could certainly do that if we moved to red states, but we can also do it wherever we travel in the country and on social media and other forums. Remember when Obama went to Rick Warren's church, that evangelical leader who had quite the following? Obama knew not even close to everyone in that congregation was going to vote for him, but he wasn't afraid to go there and make the case. And it got him votes. I'm always amazed when liberals won't appear on Fox News. They could eat them for lunch, and they refuse to engage. Why should liberals be afraid of debating Sean Hannity? The more liberal voices they hear in red states, the better chance there is that at least some will be persuaded. We know we are right on the issues, on healthcare, on guns, on a woman's right to choose, on Social Security, gay marriage. The goal should always be to move public opinion. And you can't move public opinion if you aren't trying to persuade voters pretty much on a daily basis. I mentioned gay marriage. I think gay marriage is probably the model for what needs to be done. Remember how even as recently as 2004, during the Bush-Kerry election, gay marriage was defeated on several ballot initiatives. It looked a little bleak, but the movement was not deterred. People in favor of gay marriage made the case methodically that gay people have the right to marry who they love, just like anyone else. It wasn't hurting anyone. They are taxpayers. All the rest. They didn't win the fight by yelling at people and calling them homophobic and calling it a day. They made the argument. They were persuasive. And gay marriage eventually became the law of the land, as we know. And in 2018, now 60% of the American public favor it. Now, I know it's frustrating to try to persuade many Republicans. In Alabama, when Doug Jones beat Roy Moore recently for the Senate victory, but only by a couple of points, I saw conservatives on social media say, "What does it tell you about the Democrats that they could barely beat Roy Moore, a credibly accused child molester?" Why is anyone asking that? Shouldn't the question be, "What does it tell you about Republican voters that they voted for a credibly accused child molester?" It doesn't tell you anything about Democratic voters. It tells you everything about Republicans. It's like how people know that KFC and McDonald's food is crap and not good for you, yet they still eat it. Do we say, "What does it tell you about Whole Foods that so many Americans still want to eat at KFC?" Doesn't tell you anything about Whole Foods. So I get that privately we are furious with GOP voters. The enabling of bigotry, many of these rural voters often voting against their own interests, their appalling attitude towards the environment, the belief in absurd conspiracy theories about the Clintons and Obama and others, that so many could possibly believe that a reality TV character is the real guy, and even if so, that he's remotely qualified to be in the Oval Office. All of it, it's infuriating. But what's the goal here? I think it's to win elections and move the country to the left. And the way to do that is to get some of these red state people to think differently and eventually to vote differently. So that's what we'll explore in upcoming episodes of this podcast. what could be appealing about some of these red states that would make more liberals want to move there? And what would happen if they did? What's going on right now in some of these red states? What are liberals who are already there doing? What is likely to make some of these red state voters change their minds on issues and candidates? Or what type of candidate or positions might make a red state voter vote differently? And in this podcast, I'm going to practice what I preach. I'm not going to spend my time talking to other liberals about what we think might do the trick. I'm going to talk to people in red states. I'm going to talk to people who aren't liberal. And that's why the tagline of this podcast is
The Clusterfuck Podcast, a liberal host with red state guests.
In the coming episodes, join me and my guests as we explore just how to make this new liberal movement a success. And remember, the new liberal movement must be literal. For now, I'm Roger King. That'll be all.